And I'm going to check to see if you have questions. I'm going to go to the Q&A. All right, so Sequoia and Tony. Hi, Sequoia.
Hi. Hi. So you've gone through, beautifully gone through all those. Now, so I then kind of think, okay, so what program do I put it through to find these particular SNPs?
Good question. All of them. I don't know which ones are in which ones. I know that a colleague of mine is working on one that's going to be an interface that just does all the diabetes ones, the insulin resistance ones, and he's got at least 50 that he's going to put in there, and you'll be able to see it. But he's finding it from the 23andMe, so they are in the 23andMe data. You can try, you can do the MTHFR support because that'll just give you this tabulated look. You can first of all look them up in the 23andMe raw data, but then you don't know, like, what's it supposed to be? Is it supposed to be a G or a T? Which one is it supposed to be? You know, which is the wild type and which is the risk allele? So that makes it a little harder. But I would say that you've got, I would say both of those are probably your best bet. Certainly MTHFR and MTR are those the common ones. IGF-1 is, I know it's in there. But, yeah, that's basically, there's no, like, one easy place to go to. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, the thing was, I was like, as you're going through, I'm jumping to my raw data and saying, oh, right, let's check this. Okay, now I don't know.
You don't know, right. You don't know, am I normal or am I homozygous? I don't know, right? Yeah, so that's the hard part. You can look up the RSID when you see it. You can look up the RSIDs. And then, so it's a long process, and I gave you the best I could. I would have loved to be able to give you these charts with all the RSIDs and the wild types and the, you know, and how to look them up. But quite frankly, I don't have another, you know, 40 hours to spend on this, so I didn't. But, yeah, those are the types of things that would be very helpful to have, very helpful.
You mentioned a colleague that was doing
it. Yeah, he has a company. He runs a company that does they do custom nutrient profiles, but they're working on this program. He's been working on it for 3 years. I've been waiting for it and chomping at the bit for it, that he worked with Joe Pizzorno to put together a lot of, you know, you fill out these questionnaires, and it starts to give you all this great data and what's out of balance and what nutrients might be a problem. And he has this other part that does the labs, and it does some of the similar things to what our lab analysis thing does. But this unique piece that I'm like, when are you going to have that available? When are you going to have it available? So I'm trying to get him to, you know, get moving on that faster, and so that we can have it available. And once he has that done, I'm going to bring him in to do a talk on as a advanced resource, because
you know what
it's something we need.
Is?
What's that?
You know what his website is?
Oh, man. I'd have to look it up and get back to you. I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
Okay. Yeah, that was. I thought this is wonderful, but I don't know how to check this out. You know, I mean, there's certain ones I can go to because I was looking at the MTHFR, you know, that they make it nice and simple because you can just pop in what you need to and it comes up. But it's just finding out as where everything is,
what
company to go through.
Yeah, I would say the best bet for most of these is going to be the MTHFR support because it's over 300. You might get it in the Promethes or Livewello because they do a lot of them as well. You're certainly not going to see them in, you know, most of them are, none of them are in Stratagene. Maybe one or two are in Stratagene. Very few are in the Metabolic Healing. None of them are going to be in the Genetic Genies. So you're down to MTHFR support, and you might try the Livewello or Promethes. I think those, they're very inexpensive to run their reports. I just found them so cumbersome to find anything in them. And a lot of those are made, those two are made for the end user to read. So when they're made for the end user to read, kind of like the database that 23andMe does, it makes it harder for us when we're looking for a specific SNP versus just looking for tendencies. So when they make it easy for the end user, they make it harder for us.
Right, yeah. Anyway, that was my main question, so thank you.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Tony. Oops, I am. Nope. There we go. Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey. Hi.
Hey.
You can hear me okay?
I can.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you as always for such a wonderful presentation. You took Greek and you kind of made it into English. And every time I see this through NEPT and all those case studies, it gets a little better, a little better, a little better. I really appreciate the blood sugar presentation in relationship to it. And I wanted to ask you a question about a recommendation that you made if it would change based on certain factors. So I have a client who is morbidly obese who wants me to work with her with her blood sugar. And I know her, and I know her personally, and I know of her, and I know that she, quote-unquote, eats right. Or let's just say she's not eating any worse than my worst client who had blood sugar issues and wasn't morbidly obese. And so I'm wondering if we should go ahead and order this 23andMe, since, I mean, when I say morbidly obese, I mean, you know, morbidly obese.
Yeah. Have you started testing blood sugar with her to see where it's at?
She has not started doing that yet, but yeah, that's probably a good place to start, the foundation for sure.
Yeah.
And you're saying to do that first and then decide whether or not to do the...
No, I do both. I would definitely do it. Because so here's the thing. I had a person like that, and I love her to death, and she's so good. I mean, it's not like she's going out and eating M&Ms in the meantime.
Yeah.
She's literally, you know, juicing and making sauerkraut and eat it, and you go. Yeah. But the problem is every time she starts to lose the weight, she gets sick. She, like, not just sick, like immune system sick. No, it's her brain goes out. Because when we looked at her genetics, she was homozygous on so many detox pathways, So I think what's happening is that the body, because the liver is so hosed and unable to process through the detox, that it stores all that is fat. And it just keeps getting worse. So every time she'd go, like, okay, I lost weight. But then she'd go into this, like, amnesia. She actually would go into amnesia for days at a time. Because those toxins got into the brain. And her body would immediately go, nope, put it back on. So it's really a challenge with those people. It's really a challenge.
Yeah.
You know.
She's like your client. She's, you know, I know that if I'd say, you know, do this to the other, I mean, I know she's a practitioner, so she, you know, she's got crystals, and she's trying to mind her stress level, and she does Reiki, and she makes her own this, and makes her own that, and I'm like, she's not standard, you know, where you could say, oh, we'll just do the foundations, and I'm sure you'll be fine, you know.
Oh, yeah, like 80% of people would be like that, but so it's going to take more work on your part, and I would definitely run the 23andMe with her, and I would run the just get her doing the blood sugar, and then what's her microbiome?
Yeah.
This is where you might jump in and just like run some stool testing to see what actually is going on in there. She may have some imbalances. She may have like a predominance of the Firmicutes versus the Bacteroides, which would predispose. She may have completely dysbiotic or out of balance gut flora that's creating that.
Hmm. All right, another way to look at it. Thank you.
Right?
Thank
but those basics, right?
That.
Get the genetics so that you know how to adapt, but work on the gut and the blood sugar and see what you can do. And the detox. So whatever little things you can do, not to make her detox go faster, but to support the pathways.
Yeah, that is my concern. But she knows what to do to support all that, too. We talk and she does all the stuff. So I think that supporting all that will be, it won't be that difficult because she has a knowing. It's just that, you know, like I said, because she's morbidly obese, I'm really, really, really concerned.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
a couple
of
other things to consider is a fecal implant from a non-obese person, because that makes a huge difference.
Mm.
That's why I say get the guts going. There's tons of studies that show that you take a more, they do it in rats all the time. You take a morbidly obese rat and you inject them with the feces from a a thin rat, and they normalize. Because the gut bugs really do control it. I'll be looking at what's in her past that might explain this. You know, may have been some exposures. Maybe she traveled to foreign countries and got some parasites. It could have been exposure at birth, really serious, stressful situations at birth, incest and other kinds of sexual abuse create an emotional protection that people, and sometimes people don't even know it, but they create an emotional barrier that they don't even know because it protects them. Okay, if I stay morbidly obese, I'm not going to attract that kind of attention anymore. So there's just so many factors here to consider.
Yes, we are dealing with mindset, and the first thing we did talk about, and I won't take too much time because I know this is outside the scope of this conversation, but I know that there are things that she wants to do. I know she wants to change the world. I know she's working hard, even not feeling well, because she's that dedicated to what she wants to do. But I know there are other factors, too, that you may need to consider. So thank you.
Good. You're welcome. But, definitely the cheapo, get the hemoglobin A1C tested, the fasting insulin, and get her on a glucose monitor that you can just see what she's doing and see what's affecting it.
I will. Thank you. And then one other observation about the vitamin D. I love being in your program. So I'm sitting here with this guy because, I stay out in the sun all the time, and I know she's out in the sun a lot, and I see her walking, and I said, and in the winter, she said, I want to do my testing, make sure that I'm supplementing for winter. And it was like at 30. How does that happen when people are out in the sun all the time? So this has prompted me to, consider it. I'm going to, bump her up and see, if it'll go up with the with the supplements, but the skin is the best way to get it, right? I mean, if you're out in the sun, that's like...
It is, but, there's all kinds of reasons, right? There's all kinds of reasons not. And sometimes it's as simple as they take a shower with soap after they're out in the sun and washes it all off. So you got to not use soap for 3 days to get the full vitamin D. I don't even use soap anymore except on my, private parts and underarms. I don't use soap on the parts that are out because I don't want to wipe away. And I also don't want to dry out my skin. So that's the thing. So you can look at that sort of thing with them. And also all those vitamin D snips. It's very, you saw them. And also gut flora. Mm-hmm. Right? And sulforaphane will help. I mean, there's so many things that affect the vitamin D. And our world is dirty. And, are we really getting as much UV through the pollution or the, whatever is going on in the environment? So there's a lot to go
with. Here in Maryland.
Yeah.
So thank you. I know this is beyond the scope, but it's helping me to think my way through it and process as I approach these cases. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you're a good example for everybody else to be really, you think through these things, right? We have to think through and just say, no, it's not that what I do doesn't work. What I do does work, but there's other situations, and you're going to learn from this one. Know that, like I said earlier, it's like every time I find somebody that doesn't, I'm learning a lot. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Tony. Bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm going to go to the Q&A. Let's see. Ginger said, what about self-decode to analyze further? I've never, let me see. I'm going to look up self-decode. That's a new one on me, Ginger. Thank you. Like I said, there's new ones all the time. I just can't keep up with it all. Selfdecode.com. And there was a new one that a colleague of mine just sent me that she has, and she asked me to check it for her. So I'll let you guys know what I think. Decode My Genome. Demo. Let me check the demo. Uncover your genetic weaknesses. Play to your strengths. Yeah, so this is probably one of those that it's got a personalized health report. Let's see. Well, I'll take a look at it. It looks like it might be an option. I don't know if it has the blood sugar ones in here. Every one of them is a little bit short. Sign up for only $19. I'll check it out. Thank you, Ginger. Joe Cohen. Is that who that's from? Joe Cohen? How do you test antibodies for other places in the body besides thyroid? Great. Well, for the insulin in particular, which is what we're talking here, there's the anti-islet cell antibodies. There's the anti-insulin antibodies, and then there's a couple of other tests that you can look at, but those are the antibodies. But also, that's just Quest or LabCorp or any of the other lab tests. They're a little bit pricey, but you can do them that way. The other way is Cyrex Labs, C-Y-R-E-X, and you can run their Array 5, which tests for antibodies in like 37 different antibodies, including anti-intrinsic factor, which I think a lot of people have, anti-collagen ones. There's a ton of them, so that's a really great place to look. Are there antibodies for every organ, just like the thyroid? There are. They've been identified for a lot of them. Heart, anti-cardiac ones, anti-brain. There's three different ones that Cyrex tests for the brain and for the heart. There's several for the joints. There's some kidney ones. Pancreas. Yeah, there's a lot of them. All right, let's see. All right, that's all I see there. Let me look in the Q&A part now, see if anybody put a question in there. Oh, now there's a few. Great. Let me go scrolling down. Sheila says, so many people, myself included, eat a lot of foods high in folic acid. How do people get their vitamins without some of the key folate? Well, you know, and again, we're going to call it folate versus folic acid. What's in the food itself is the form you want to eat, which is the methylated folate. How do people get it? They don't. They're deficient. Like if you look at the standard American diet, which is, you know, white and brown and not green, they're not getting enough folate, and they have folate deficiencies, right? That's why they tell women when they're pregnant to go ahead and supplement with folic acid. Unfortunately, they say folic acid, and it's mostly synthetic, but even then it helps to prevent some of the defects the neural tube defects that they get caused by that. Chet says, thank you. Not sure what you're thanking me for, but you're welcome. Elaine says, so with a client with disabling disease related to MS that's now obese, practically immobile and unhealthy and taking lots of meds, would you get 23andMe done to help you start working on better food and help encourage change more strategically, or wait to clean up food, et cetera, first? Well, if it's somebody who's on the standard American diet, you can do a lot with this. So that's, again, I wouldn't go to 23andMe first. With Tony's case, she was talking about somebody who was already doing, like, most of the good stuff. So we were talking about fine-tuning it. But if somebody has disabling MS, you got to get them right away to make changes. You know, I talk to people and I say, look, if you have, you know, minor aches and pains, your energy's a little bit low, and, you know, you're emotionally attached to your food and you don't want to make the changes quickly, fine. Let's just move at your pace so that you don't rebel. But if you've got cancer or MS or severe debilitating disease, you do whatever it takes, right? So I would get this person on as clean a diet as you can. Their fatty acids are super important. Ketogenic diets with lots of veggies, though, make a lot of sense. Go to check out the WALS protocol. A juice cleanse, water fast sometimes work. It just depends on these people. But you got to get the good fats in them, because the fats are what are going to help to regenerate. You've got to get them off of gluten, off of dairy, off of sugar, you know, and on our typical clean diet, and then fine-tune it to them, and supplementation as well. But you can use this 23andMe to see what specific, it may be good to get the 23andMe to see, do they have specific issues with some of their phospholipid pathways, so that you can go ahead and supplement them with phospholipids. I would probably do both, but get them started on those diet changes ASAP, because you can turn them around within a year. All right. There's a few more. Yep, that's it. Oh, yeah, no, that's it. And good for you, Sheila, for eating foods high in folic acid, folate. Yeah, the WALS protocol, W-A-H-L-S, WALS protocol. She's going to come in and do a talk for us in NEPT, where I'm in the talking phase right now with her. I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live with her over the next couple of weeks. She's got great stuff. And I did a radio show with her. If you go to drritamarieradio.com, you'll see my radio interview with her. She's cured herself of MS. She's an MD neurologist. And now she's trying to train all the neurologists to not give up on their MS patients. All right, I think we're good. Let me go back to here, the Q&A. I'll refresh one more time. Yep, and let me go back to the line. Anybody, last chance. This is your last chance for calls. Star 2 if you have a question. Type it into the chat if you have a question. Or Q&A, I'll refresh, and that'll be it. Nope, so we're done with the questions on the Q&A. I can still see the chat, so you can put it there if you have any last questions. Star 2. Otherwise, we're done. Thank you, everybody. I hope this was helpful. I know there was a lot of detail, and there was a lot more I could have put in, and I was trying to keep it as simple as possible. But you've got some great reference charts and things that you can start looking at, and especially for those folks who are not responding. For the ones that are responding and they're dropping their weight, a guy wrote to me yesterday, and he was actually – it's kind of interesting. He was actually helping me with the marketing pieces for this launch for Sweet Spot, and he got access to the program, and he just started going through it, and he started it on January 1, and he's down almost 26 pounds, and his body fat percentage is down 5%, no cravings, full of energy, feeling great, and he wrote to me to thank me for all that, so I was thrilled. And so this stuff works. And for others where it doesn't, then you're looking for these specific pathways that you can go, oh, well, they have this, so they need to be careful about that. Elaine says, very helpful. Tony said, learned a lot. Anybody else wants to comment how this was? Go for it. And I'm going to open your lines just to say goodbye. Let me just stop the recording.